ask that you remain standing for the reading of the sermon scripture from the Gospel according to John. John, the last chapter, chapter 21, and we will read verses 15 through 19. 15 through 19. And that's on page 1067 in your pew Bible. Hear the inspired, inerrant Word of God. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Amen. You may be seated. Our Father in heaven, we have heard your word, and what a mercy and what a grace it is to hear your word and to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, of him who loved us and gave himself for us, and that to your glory. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us in this time, give us understanding, show us the Lord Jesus, build us up, and fill us with your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sermon title this morning is "A Hurtful Restoration." A Hurtful Restoration. And then a secondary title is "Love Me and Love My Sheep." Love me and love my sheep. Last week, we considered the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And if you missed it, it's on sermon audio, little commercial. And during that sermon, we said that if there is a discipleship problem, it is a heart problem. Remember, because the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Well, our passage this morning is along the same line. If we have a discipleship problem, from John's perspective, it's a love problem. It's a problem with our relationship with God. Again, Jesus, the loving master heart physician, the master counselor, goes to work on Peter and asks the all-important question, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he is really asking us as well that same question. Do you love Jesus more than these? That's the all-important question. Now, why, if Jesus is God in the flesh, and he is, because in John chapter 1, we are told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so right off the bat in this gospel, we're confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. And so Jesus, who is God in the flesh and knows all things, and Peter says that in verse 17, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. If Jesus is God in the flesh and he knows all things, why would he ask Peter this question that he already knows the answer to? And ask it three times to the point where Peter is hurt and grieved by the question. Was it just to watch Peter squirm? No, it was not for Jesus' benefit. It wasn't a fact-finding question. It's for Peter's benefit. Peter needs to know what's going on in his heart. And by extension, it's a question for your benefit and for mine. What do I mean? Well, have you ever fallen short of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you ever denied him or not wanted to be identified with or discovered as one of those Jesus people? Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me. And if you have ever fallen short of really loving Jesus the most, then you can take this portion of Scripture for your food and comfort and reassurance to your soul. Amen? Beloved, it's all about love. The love of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Why? Because love starts with God. Amen? Amen? Love starts with God because, John tells us, God is love. Amen? Amen. John, 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Or this is God's definition of love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loved us and sent his Son to be the wrath-removing sacrifice for our sins. God loves and then sends a sacrifice. Amen? God himself provides a lamb for the sacrifice. Amen. Where does that come from? That comes from Genesis chapter 22. Amen. So we learn that love starts with God, but we also learn that love must grow and continue in and through us. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. God sends his love and plants his love into the hearts of men and women where it can grow and multiply. Amen? Amen. Or put it this way, And this is our proposition, the main idea from the word today. God loves his people, therefore we must love his people. God loves his people, therefore we must love his people, or love me and love my sheep. Love me and love my sheep. Now first, in order to do this, we need to know and believe that love starts with God. God's love is designed to change us from lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and not lovers of God. You can see that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 4. He changes us from that into those who love God and deny self, so that we're like Jesus, and so that we love like Jesus. John 15:3 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Amen. Jesus did that. He laid down his life for you and for me. Love needs to be demonstrated. We see the demonstration of that in a number of places. I want to remind you of one, John chapter 13 and verse 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end." Or he loved them to the uttermost. Or he loved them to eternity. It's a very difficult word to translate, but it has that range of meaning. This eternal love that Jesus had for his disciples and for us. "And during the supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments. And taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." Love serves. Love serves. And so here we have the Son of God. God the Son, the Lord of glory, stooping to wash manure off the dirty feet of the disciples. He takes the lowest of jobs, but he is the maker. He's the maker of feet. He's not just the washing feet. He's washing the feet that he created. Jesus, by his precious blood, washes away the filth of your sin and mine with his precious blood at the cross. Wow. So love serves. Love also sacrifices. The love of Jesus is shown by sacrifice. So Peter, speaking to all Christians in his letter, tells us in 1 Peter 1:19 that we were not redeemed with gold that perishes. We were redeemed with something far more valuable. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So love sacrifices. And John says essentially the same thing in Revelation. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain," speaking to Jesus. and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Revelation 5:9. Why did he do it? Why did he redeem us? Because, it says in Revelation 1:5-6, he loved us. Because he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Do you realize that if you're in Christ, you have been made a king and a priest? You are. That's what the word says. And so let's go with that. Amen. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So love serves, love sacrifices, and love prays. Love prays. The Lord said to Simon Peter in Luke chapter 22, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked permission that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me," not if you return to me, but when, amen, "when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Beloved, Jesus loves us and has prayed for us. Amen. Jesus' prayers are effective. And that's why our faith cannot and will not fail. Amen. Hallelujah. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on the mighty prayers of Jesus. Amen. Who always lives to intercede for us. Amen. And through whose spirit there is also intercession with groanings too deep for words. You ever have prayer like that where words seem to fail you and your desire is for the Lord to be glorified, for his kingdom to advance, and for his will to be done? And like, "Lord, we want to see this happen. Please do it for your glory, for your honor, for your name." That's when we're praying as we ought to pray, as we were taught to pray from the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes words fail us. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings too deep for words. Jesus prayed for Simon. "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail," or "to the end that," or "for the purpose that your faith should not fail." Again, Jesus' prayers are effective for his purposes. "And when you have returned to me," not if, but when, "strengthen your brethren." And so there's a word there that in Christ, we are here. I am here for you. In Christ, we are here for each other. That also is love. Amen. So we need to know and believe that love starts with God. The love of Jesus is shown in his service. The love of Jesus is shown in his sacrifice. And the love of Jesus is shown in his prayer. But we need to love even as we have been loved. love me, love my sheep. And so you see Jesus asking that question, Peter, do you love me? And it's almost like he's saying, okay, now walk out that love. Prove it as you love my sheep. Show that love. Demonstrate that love. As I demonstrated love, you demonstrate love to my sheep. When you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. Amen? The least of who? My brethren. So there's this connection, this mysterious connection between Jesus and his disciples. We call it union with Christ, union and communion. So much so that when Saul of Tarsus persecuted Jesus, what was the question that Jesus had from Saul? Saul, why do you persecute me? Because he was persecuting the followers of Jesus. When you persecute the followers of Jesus, you're persecuting Jesus. And so when there are Muslims who claim to believe in the prophet Isa, the prophet Jesus, and then they persecute and kill the followers of Jesus, they don't realize that they're persecuting Jesus. And they're going to have to answer to Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. Lord, have mercy. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Pray for their repentance. Pray for their faith in Jesus. Pray that they, as some others from that belief system, that they would see Jesus, that Jesus has come to some of them in dreams and has brought them to the scriptures and brought them to faith in Christ. And pray that God would do that again and rescue many from that darkness. Amen. We need to love as we have been loved. And so I ask the question again, what do you love more than Jesus? What do you love more than his sheep? Is it fishing for fish? Peter was supposed to have given it up, right? Luke 5:10, after the first miraculous catch of fish, Jesus said to Peter, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." That's love. That love, in other words, love for whatever in the world, whatever it is, that love must decrease. But love for Jesus and his sheep must increase. Amen. May the Lord make it so. May he pour out. May he shed his love abroad in our hearts, that our love for Jesus and his sheep would increase. Amen. Amen. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. John 14:15-16. There's one of those beautiful promises, but it's a conditional promise. In other words, we need to abide by the conditions, and then we will receive what's promised. Amen? And so the condition is to love Jesus. And to show that love by keeping his commands. And as we love him and keep his commands, he promises to ask the Father. And that the Father will give another helper, another one like Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who will what? Who is with you and will be in you. Speaking of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Do we love and obey Jesus? If we do, then we will love and care for his sheep. Amen. What did he command? Well, he commanded three times, and I think the three times, do you love me? And the three times to take care of the sheep is reflecting on the three times that Peter denied Jesus. And so Jesus is bringing Peter back. He's restoring him. And restoring him in the way he needs to be restored. The Lord does all things well. Amen. The first command is feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. And we need to be concerned about the children, the infants, the newborns in Christ, that they're fed and fed the milk of the word. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. So Peter's concerned about the lambs, that they have the milk of the word. Now, our enemy, Satan, who is Christ's enemy and the enemy of the church, our enemy attacks children. He attacks the vulnerable, the weak, right? And so his attack is on children. And so we need to protect children and care for children and feed our children and be concerned about grandchildren as well. Beloved, we need to be champions and shepherds for children. We need to do all we can to encourage our children to be in Bible-believing, gospel preaching, Jesus exalting churches. Amen. And so I ask, where are the children? Pray that the Lord brings his children into church. Amen. Get involved in getting the word to children and getting children to the word. Amen. So maybe the Lord would lead you to be involved with our VBS this summer. That's one avenue. There are other avenues as well. The Lord lays on your heart to reach out with the gospel to children. Because, again, the enemy is attacking children and destroying children. The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy, but Jesus came that they might have life, that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And right now, the youth of this country, many of them are taking their own life in suicide. What is that all about? That's the attack of the enemy. These children, they don't have the gospel. They don't have hope, and they think it's a solution to end their life. But they need the love of God, the hope of God, and the faith of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Feed my lambs. And then the second thing he says is tend my sheep. The word translated tend can also be translated shepherd. Shepherd. We need to be shepherds. To shepherd, to lead, to watch over. Are we watching out for each other? Are we concerned about each other? If you haven't seen brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so in church for a while, have you called them? Do you know them? Do you care for them? I need to shepherd you. But we also need to shepherd one another. Amen? Amen. Acts 20, verse 28, speaking to the shepherds, the elders at Ephesus, Paul says, therefore, take heed to yourselves. And that's the beginning. We need to watch ourselves, watch over our hearts with all diligence, for from them flow the wellsprings of life. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Shepherd the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Isn't that awesome? The flock of God purchased with God's own blood. Another affirmation of the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Acts 20:28. And so, beloved believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, aspire to be a leader. Aspire to be a shepherd. Older men, be examples. Younger men, follow those examples. Older women, teach the younger women to love their husbands and to be workers in the home. Husbands, shepherd your wives. Fathers and mothers, shepherd your children. Don't exasperate them, but bring them up in the nurture and encouragement of the Lord so that they don't lose heart. Amen? Tend my sheep. And lastly, feed my sheep to pasture or to cause to graze. According to the promise in Ezekiel 34:15, I myself will feed my sheep and I myself will make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Isaiah 40:11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Isaiah 40:11. Who is this good shepherd? Who is this good shepherd? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep and had power to take it up again. Amen? Follow him. Love him. Love his sheep. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, you are worthy to receive all praise, all honor, and all glory. Father, you who have given Jesus a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And Holy Spirit, the one who is shed and poured out abroad into our hearts, that we would know the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. You are worthy to receive praise. Jesus, you loved us and gave yourself for us, that we would love you and love your sheep. Give us grace, Lord, to hear this word, to hear your inquiry into the state of our soul. Do you love me more than these? If you do, love and care for my sheep.